to the Crosspoint Podcast, a listener support ministry of Crosspoint Alliance Church. Hi, I'm Pastor C, and it is a joy that you're joining us today. God has a special message for you. We want to encourage you to take some notes, but most of all, to open your heart. God wants to speak to you.
All right, so this morning, we're going to continue with generosity. Look at that picture. Title of this sermon is Location is Everything. All right, and if you see that picture, you might, if you're here for the first time, I want to just be very clear. If I walked into a church and I saw a title of a sermon saying Location is Everything and that picture on it, I was like, uh-oh, this guy's, you know, you give and you're going to get mansions and all that, and it makes me sick to my stomach. So I want to make it very clear that that's not the message this morning, okay? So breathe in and out. Okay, good. But location is everything. Isn't that a pretty house? Aaron found this for me this morning, and he put it up there, and he likes that. It looks, it might be a raft in the front. It could also be a ramp of some sort. I like picturing one or the other, but we have the pool, we have the beautiful house. How many wouldn't mind living there if it was paid for and you're good to go? Okay, right? You can invite us over. We could all have church there. We'd have a good time, right? And so we look at that. Yes, absolutely. Beautiful house. Beautiful roof. All that stuff. And look at the beautiful, it looks almost like a glow in the background. Isn't that pretty? Now, what if I were to tell you that that glow in the background is Chernobyl? You know, the power of the nuclear, thank you. Thank you for helping me with English. I appreciate it this morning. The nuclear power plant that blew up changes the picture, doesn't it? All of a sudden, no one. That's why it's empty. There's no one in the pool. Now, that's not true. That's not actually what this is. It might be. I don't know. But it was a good picture because location is everything. My wife and I, we moved to Charlotte. I was so excited. We found this house online. 4 bedrooms. I don't need 4 bedrooms. I have 3 children. We need 2, right? They can live, me and one, my wife and I, another. We're good. 4 bedrooms. And it was cheaper than any rent we could find. I was like, this is excellent. So we show up. That's where we live now. It's amazing. But the reason we got it so cheap is because it was a picture of the person that was killed, that was murdered in the front of the yard. Location is everything, right? I was like, this is an incredible house. For this much? This is amazing. It's because people would bring flowers and put them on the picture. Location's everything. That's going to come back in the sermon. If you remember nothing, we're going to read a lot of scripture today, but if you don't remember anything, if you remember that location is everything, I promise you by the end, that is going to be hopefully in our hearts and our minds as we go forward desiring to be people who are generous and investing into the kingdom of God and not into ourselves. And so let's begin with turning to Luke chapter 12. And then while you're turning there, right when you get there, we're going to pray one more time. I'm going to ask the Lord to kind of help us here. Turn to Luke chapter 12. And let's pray one more time, if you would. Lord, we come before you today, and Lord, we ask that you may speak to us through your word. Lord, your word will accomplish what it set out to accomplish, and we thank you for that. Lord, we ask that by your Holy Spirit, you may open our eyes to areas we may have been blinded. Lord, that you may change our hearts and our minds and do something supernatural, because Lord, we live in a culture that is filled with consuming and with self. And Lord, we live here so long that we can so quickly become accustomed to that and forget where our citizenship really is. And that's with you. And so Lord, I ask that you may take your word and transform our hearts. And Lord, that together we may discover what it is that you want to do in each of us today. We love you, and in Jesus' name, amen. All right, Luke chapter 12. We're going to look at, we've been talking about generosity and being just generous in our lives and in time and in talents and everything. And this morning, I really, what we're going to look at is four different places that we may find ourselves today. You may be here and you may have all your bills paid and a surplus and an excess and just doing really comfortably. You may be here and still maybe struggling, maybe out of work, maybe struggling to make ends meet with finances. Finances. You may be here and feel like, boy, I've found what I'm good at, what God has called me to do, and I'm walking in that, and I feel good in that, and everything's going wonderfully. You may be here feeling like you have nothing to offer, that God, I'm limited in what I can do or what I can say. You may feel extremely confident. You may feel extremely vulnerable or weak. And the truth is that at different times in our lives, we will experience those different stages. And the Bible deals with each one of those. And today we're going to look at four different scriptures dealing with four different places we may find ourselves in order to prepare ourselves for when we are in different locations. We may be at abundance right now. We may not. I promise you, at some point, you will have more than you need. And then there's going to be a time when you feel like you just don't have enough. And the beautiful thing about God's word is that it hits all of those times. And it leaves none of us out. And so let's start by looking at Luke chapter 12. Aaron, he's so good with this. He put these up for you. So Luke chapter 12. And let's start with verse 13. I think this might be, this is 16. So let me read these first three, and then we'll kind of read here together. Someone in the crowd said to Jesus, "Teacher, tell my brother to divide the family inheritance with me." But he said to him, "Man, who appointed me a judge and arbitrator over you?" Then he said to them, "Beware, and be on your guard against every form of greed. For not even when one has an abundance does his life consist of his possessions." And then here on the screen, he told him a parable saying, "The land of a rich man was very productive. And he began reasoning to himself, saying, 'What shall I do, since I have no place to store my crops?' Then he said, 'This is what I will do. I'll tear down my barns and build larger ones. And there I will store all my grain and my goods. And I will say to my soul, soul, you have many goods laid up for many years to come. Take your ease, eat, drink, and be merry.'" So here's a guy with an interesting problem. He has so much. He's doing so well. He uses farming, a farmer at this point. His crops are coming in. But for you and I, it may not be farming, obviously. But you may be at a place of abundance where you have a job. You're doing okay. You have money coming in. You're able to make ends meet. You're paying your bills. And we may be at this place in our life. And this guy, he says, "But this is a problem. What am I going to do with all this stuff?" And his solution was this: "I'm going to tear down my barns, build more, store up so that I can eat, drink, be merry, and just plan for the future so I can lay back and chill." His purpose was to use this and to plan well for his future, to build well so that he could see the end and he could live his life out with a really good retirement. Look what Jesus said. "But God said to him, 'You fool, this very night your soul is required of you. And now who will own what you have prepared? So is the man who stores up treasure for himself and is not rich toward God." This man wanted to plan for his future. Is there anything wrong with trying to plan something? Absolutely not. The Bible even says if you're going to do something, you have to make sure you can complete it before you start it or you'll look like a fool. It's planning. There's nothing wrong with planning. But this man's plans included this earth. He said, "I'm going to store up for myself enough so that I can live comfortably the rest of my life." One problem with that is his life ended that day. Here was a man who had much, but could do very little. It's move on to the next scripture. We're going to come and tie all these together. Turn to 1 Timothy. First Timothy chapter 6. For years, I thought the problem was money. And I kind of had this idea that to be poor meant to be holy. But here in 1 Timothy is another picture of someone who has much. But look at the instructions on what to do. 1 Timothy chapter 6, verse 17. Instruct those who are rich in this present world not to be conceited, or to fix their hope on the uncertainty of riches, but on God, who richly supplies us with all things to enjoy. Instruct them to do good, to be rich in good works, to be generous and ready to share, storing up for themselves the treasure of a good foundation for the future, so that they may take hold of that which is life indeed. Look at the end of that. Storing up for themselves the treasure of a good foundation for the future. Isn't that what the first guy was doing, though? But what's the difference between the two of them? Location's everything. The first man has an abundance. But where is his heart fixed? Right on this earth. It's fixed on this earth. He's preparing for his future here. What is the command of God to those who have an abundance? Yeah, plan for the future. Store up. But do it in heaven. Because that is the eternal place. It's using those abundance and the money and the wealth and the talents and all these. And she wanted so much to bless others. We went to her house for tea. English tea, which I found out is not tea. It's tea and cakes and caviar. It was incredible. I was like, what is happening? We're missing out in America. You know what I'm saying? I'm like, man, you stop your day to do this. So we went to her house, and she was like, and she pulls out these three fine china plates. And she's like, I don't know where the fourth one was. Can you use these? And I was like, yeah, I guess so. So here we are. Missionaries, barely, you know, I mean, just getting support to live, you know, week to week, eating on fine china. Because one woman who had much, and she was limited in what she could do because her husband actually didn't know the Lord. But he was fine getting rid of that china. They don't even have four plates. It's garbage. And we sat there clinking every meal on this stuff. And it blessed us. Because someone who had much said, I want to use whatever I can to bless others. She would have people from the church come over to her house regularly and just enjoy time with them and bless them. And she would give her time on Sunday mornings. And she was not a young woman by any means. But she just wanted to give. She had much, and she was able to give much. See, the problem is not how much each of these two stories have. They both have a lot. Here we talk about rich in this present world. The first story, he was rich in this present world. They were identical in their circumstances, but their hearts were completely opposite. And you may find yourself today at a place, by the grace of God, that you have an abundance. Where is our hearts? Let's allow him to really work in us and say, how am I to invest in the eternal things? And that takes some allowing the Holy Spirit to actually work in our minds and our hearts and actually to evaluate where we're at. Because we live in a consumer-driven society where none of us feel like we have an abundance. Because as soon as we have more, we go a next level up. And before we know it, we're always barely there. And it may take some self-thinking and say, am I investing here or am I investing in eternity? And that's something that God's been going on my heart. See, I'm at a place right now in school. It's kind of a weird place. I'm in PA school. And I always laugh with the nurses because they're, you know, wherever I'm at a doctor's office right now, and sometimes they'll mention about how little they're getting paid. And I'll be like, don't forget now, I'm paying $100 a day to be here, right? Well, my loan is, but still, another story. We're going to live debt-free.
Amen.
Amen. Getting there. But it's a weird place to be because right now we have a set amount. I also know that physician assistants, they make some good money. Let's be honest. And so even Anzo and I now have to prepare to know that there will be a day when I'm making much more than I am now, which is nothing, right? She's laughing. It's like, yeah, for 6 years, it's nothing. No, it's my sugar mama. No, I'm just kidding. Out of the tape, Aaron, out of the tape. But you hear what I'm saying? But so often we don't think of these things. We know where we are right now, and we say that, okay, yeah, okay, that's fine. Oh, yeah, that's what I got to make, pay the bills. Listen, you are not going to be the same place you are probably 10 years from now. You may be worse financially. You may be better. The plan is how are we going to be faithful no matter what situation God has for us? If you're in abundance today, the question is it investing here or in kingdom things? Let's move on. Turn to Matthew 25. And while you turn there, I want to tell you one more story about somebody that, when we moved here to Charlotte, we had a car in Pennsylvania that we had two vehicles, two pretty old vehicles, and one I was able to give to a teenager, new driver, because I couldn't get it to pass inspection in Pennsylvania, but he knew a guy that could put some paste on it somewhere and keep the thing running. And so he was like, I'll take it. I was like, sure, go ahead, you know. So we came down to Charlotte with a van. Problem one, the transmission broke right when we were on our way or got here. And so it only did first, second, and third gear, right? So it made 77 not really drivable, okay? Now we could go in Charlotte, but it was that we were that van going down, you know, like just going, right? And it was beautiful. Like we had a van, like we were able to do some things. There was a woman in the church that we were attending, and she knew, we never met her. We knew her son a little bit and shared with him a bit. One day, this woman comes up to us after church and is like, hey, will you come and eat lunch with me today? Or it was probably planned a week or two in advance. And we came, ended up going to her house, and she had an old Toyota Camry that had been in her garage for years. And she gave us that. And we had come to Charlotte without jobs and having just trying to follow the will of the Lord. And I was working at a bagel shop and making ends meet. And this woman who had an abundance just blew us away. And I was floored. I had no idea. And she's like, now it's old. I hope... Did you not hear the car coming in, you know? To this day, Mike, it was the one that you could sit backwards in, you know? To this day, it was my kid's favorite car because the back seat could pop up and you could look out the back window at all the cars coming at you. They're probably illegal nowadays, but it was so great because this woman who had much, just free, I mean, just wanted to, boom, just bless. Oh, she saw a need. I just believe what God's doing. And, you know, she made us promise one thing. She said, will you always pray for my son? I still remember Eric, and pray for him. And it's just, God, he can use what we have. But you may be here saying, okay, or you may be my wife here saying, my husband has made no money for the last 4 years, and so we may not find ourselves in a place of abundance right now. We may be looking for a job. We may be struggling. Check this out. Turn to Matthew. You're already there. Chapter 25. Verse 14. For it is just like a man about to go on a journey who called his own slaves and entrusted his possessions to them. To one he gave 5 talents, to another 2, to another 1, each one according to his own ability, and he went on his journey. Immediately the one who had received the 5 talents went and traded with them and gained 5 more talents. In the same manner, the one who had received the 2 talents gained 2 more. But he who had received the 1 talent went away and dug a hole in the ground and hid his master's money. Now, after a long time, the master of those slaves came and settled accounts with them. The one who had received the 5 talents came up and brought 5 more talents, saying, Master, you entrusted 5 talents to me. See, I have gained 5 more talents. His master said to him, Well done, good and faithful slave. You were faithful with a few things. I will put you in charge of many things. Enter into the joy of your master. Also, the one who had received the 2 talents came up and said, Master, you entrusted 2 talents to me. See, I've gained 2 more talents. His master said to him, Well done, good and faithful slave. You were faithful with a few things. I will put you in charge of many things. Enter into the joy of your master. Notice, for the man who had 5 and the man who had 2, both received the same reward. He said, You've been faithful with a little. I'll make you give you much and enter into the joy of your master. And the one also who had received the 1 talent came up and said, Master, I knew you to be a hard man, reaping where you did not sow and gathering where you scattered no seed. And I was afraid and went away and hid your talent in the ground. See, you have what is yours. But his master, he didn't lose the talent, mind you. Just don't forget, he still gave him back his talent. But his master answered and said to him, You wicked, lazy slave. You knew that I reap where I did not sow and gather where I scattered no seed. Then you ought to have put my money in the bank, and on my arrival I would have received my money back with interest. Therefore, take away the talent from him and give it to the one who has 10 talents. For everyone who has, more shall be given, and he will have an abundance. But from the one who does not have, even what he does will be taken away. Throw out the worthless slave into the outer darkness. In that place there will be weeping and gnashing of teeth. Now, if this correlated with the first 2 stories that we talked about, the first 2 ideas, the wealth, the man with the 5 talents would have been the problem. He had so much, right? And he would have done something wrong or wasted it, and then he would have gotten in trouble. But notice, it was the guy with only 1. He wasn't given that much to begin with. He had very little. And yet with that very little, he chose to do nothing. We can have much and do little. We can have much and do much. Here's a man who had little and did nothing. We may find ourselves where we feel like we have been given 1 talent, 1 coin, 1 ability, 1 whatever. And we feel very limited in what we can do. And we may even be believers who see the needs around us, and we look around and we say, oh, if only I could do something about this. If only I could do something about this. Oh, I just wish I could do something about this. God is not asking the man with 1 talent to give him back 10. He was asking him to use that 1 talent. And God is so much better than this master in the Bible, is that he's gracious. But when we have little, the question is, what are we going to do with it? Before I get to any more examples, we're going to read our last scripture, and then I'll give a couple more examples. Turn to John chapter 6. I know we're reading a lot of scripture, but this week, the more I was just praying about it, I think the scriptures speak so much for themselves that I think it's, we just read the scripture. If you felt like you hadn't read the Bible enough this week, well, we'll make up for it this morning. Okay, John chapter 6, starting in verse 1. Here's about another story. Y'all know these stories, many of you know them. Here's another time when someone had little, but he did much. After these things, Jesus went away to the other side of the Sea of Galilee, and a large crowd followed him, because they saw the signs which he was performing on those who were sick. Then Jesus went up the mountain, and there he sat down with his disciples. Now the Passover, the feast of the Jews, was near. Therefore Jesus, lifting up his eyes and seeing that a large crowd was coming to him, said to Philip, Where are we to buy bread so that these may eat? This he was saying to test him, for he himself knew what he was intending to do. Philip answered him, 200 denarii worth of bread is not sufficient for them. for everyone to receive even a little. One of his disciples, Andrew, Simon Peter's brother, said to him, "There's a lad here who has 5 barley loaves and 2 fish, but what are these for so many people?" Jesus said, "Have the people sit down." Now there was much grass in the place, so the men sat down, in number about 5,000. Jesus then took the loaves, and having given thanks, he distributed to those who were seated. Likewise also the fish, as much as they wanted. When they were filled, he said to his disciples, "Gather up the leftover fragments so that nothing will be lost." So they gathered them up and filled 12 baskets with fragments from the 5 barley loaves which were left over by those who had eaten. Therefore, when the people saw the sign which he had performed, they said, "Truly, this is the prophet who has come into the world." We can have much and do little. We can have much and do much. We can have little and do little. Or we can have little and yet do much. And I looked, I said, what is the secret? What was the difference with Jesus when he only had 5 loaves and 2 fish? Why was he able to do so much? Well, yeah, he's Jesus. I understand that. But what did he do with the 5 loaves and the 2 fish? Anybody remember what he did? He gave thanks. 5 loaves and 2 fish. One of his disciples, "I got 5 loaves and 2 fish. Well, what are these among so many?" And the sad thing is that's how most of us live our lives. We have barely making ends meet. And we say, "God, I only have this. What is this?" We look at ourselves in the mirror. We look at the talents God's given us. And we say, we feel like, "Well, what can I do? God, what is this? I got nothing." And here's Jesus. He takes 5 loaves and 2 fish. And rather than saying, "What is this among 5,000? He says, "I thank you, Father." And he gave thanks for this seemingly small amount. And God took that and distributed it so that it blessed so many. How are you and I viewing our lives today? We may be in a place where we feel like we have little. Do we go about saying, "Man, God, I got nothing. Is this all I have?" We look at our paycheck. "God, is this it?" We look at our bills and we say, "How am I going to, oh, this is what it, oh, this is, oh." What? We have little, so we do little. But Jesus, whatever he's given us, we take that and we say, "God, thank you for what you have given. Let me use this for your glory." And we find ways to use whatever is in our hands to build up the kingdom of God and invest in eternity. And it's this idea of a heart difference. It's one of thanksgiving. It's one at the very core of generosity. And it's one that he has to forge in us when we have little, because it's a lot harder when we have much. The Bible actually says this: it's impossible for a rich man to enter the kingdom of heaven. And his disciples say, "What? Then who can get in?" And Jesus says, "Well, with God, nothing's impossible." But when he forges that thankfulness and that generous heart in us, then it prepares us for whatever situation we're in. Paul said, "I've learned to be content in all things. When I'm in abundance, when I'm abased, wherever I'm at, I can do all things through Christ who gives me strength." When I was a kid, I remember I came to Christ when I was 15. And I had grown up, kind of in a moral family. They were wonderful. But I didn't really know Jesus myself. And somebody had talked to me after coming to Jesus, and I saw other friends, and they were giving, and they were tithing, and they were, like, using money and giving to the kingdom and doing for other things. And a pastor told me, "Yeah, we want to give 10%. And so, yeah, when you get money in, you should give 10%. And I was so excited to follow Jesus. I remember I got $10 a week for allowance. I was older. $10 a week, okay? Don't tell him how much you get. No, $10 a week for allowance, right? And I remember quickly, joyfully, give 2-3 bucks. Didn't even think about it. I want to be a real good Christian. Right? And I didn't think anything of it. And it was amazing. I got to give, and God provided. And you're a kid. You don't know anything. You're just, "Yeah, I want to obey God, sure." You know, it was a lot easier to give 30% when I got $10 than it is to give 2% now. If you think about it. But God forged that when I didn't even know what was going on in my mind. And in that little bit, he takes like a child that doesn't know what's going on, says, oh, God says this. Okay, well, why don't I give some more? And then as I got older and older and older and have more than $10, I'm less and less and less generous. And I realize, huh, because I'm missing the fact of back then I was so enamored with who he was and I was so amazed at God that he, everything's from him. He'll take care of my needs. I don't have to worry. He's got me. And I get the joy of generosity, the joy of giving, and it was such a simplistic thing, simplistic faith. And then as I matured and I got more wise, it gets harder and harder to give freely and lovingly and reflect him. And I want us to remember, never lose that. Here Jesus, he had so little, 5,000 people, and yet he gave thanks and he distributed to everyone who has need. If you see a need, and this is, if I see a need, if we see a need around us and your heart is stirred and we say, oh, I wish I could do that. I wish somebody could handle that. Or I challenge you, let's do something. Let's do something. There's no way that we can do everything. We may not have the ability, but let's do something. I still remember I had a pastor when I was in Thailand, the pastor that was kind of leading us when we were in Thailand. I could play about 5 chords on the guitar decently. And I remember him coming up and be like, all right, Matt, you're leading worship next Sunday. I'm like, what? You out of your mind? He's like, no, you have an ability. So lead worship. And he had Angela lead worship then. And he had everybody on the Bible college that was there had to lead worship, whether they sang or played an instrument. He said, why not? We have something. You're going to lead worship. And so we'd be on the team and doing our best. And some people would sing without an instrument because they couldn't play one. And it was crazy. But it taught me something. Use what you got. Maybe you have a small ability to do something musically. Talk to Peter. Say, how can I use it to worship the Lord? And Peter, find a way. Maybe we have a small talent or a small ability. Use it. Be thankful and use it for the kingdom. When we see a need and that stirs our hearts, if you say, oh, I wish somebody would do something about it, do something. If there's someone hurting this morning, there were 7 people from here that got to go under the bridge this morning. I was blessed out of my mind. Got to go under there and I got this, wow. And it was awesome. And we got to know each other better and, right? And it was just incredible. And sometimes when we feel like we have nothing, is the very time that God can get the glory and the honor that he deserves. And so, wherever you may find yourself, even if you're like Jeff and have limited ability to cook, the man made rice for the meal today. That's right, Jeff. I had to, man. I'm sorry. Do you remember the woman? I'll end with this. Do you remember the story of the woman who came to Jesus? Poured out the perfume on his feet and washed his feet with her hair and dried them. And the Pharisee sat there and was like, what is she doing? This could have been used and could have done, you know, help the poor and everything. And Jesus said something. He said, later he said, those who have been forgiven much, love much. Those that have received and understand how much they've been forgiven, boy, they're willing to forgive and love, and they're just so overwhelmed. It's the same way with generosity. Do we really believe what we sang this morning, or were we all lying? We sing, great is thy faithfulness. All that I've needed, your hand has provided. Were we lying, or do we actually believe that? Because if we really believe that truth, that every single thing is from him. And then we come and we say, thank you. And we're so overwhelmed with gratefulness for whatever he's given us, whether that's here right now, whether that's here right now, whether we feel like we have such limited talents or abilities or finances, whether we have an abundance, whatever we may find ourselves at, that is from him. And as we have a thankfulness and we say, how can I best use this to invest in eternity? All of a sudden, we're going to become generous people. John Wesley said, earn as much as you can. I love his view on finances. He said, earn as much as you can. Yeah, go out there. Christians, go. Find ways to earn money because we want to make sure we invest in the kingdom and bless others. He said, save as much as you can. If this ice cream's $6 and this one's $1, buy the $1. Save the $5. He said, and give as much as you can. Because that's it. We serve a God who gave everything. And so we get to reflect him in that. Location's everything. We are to plan for the future. But the question is, are we doing it in a place that's going to disappear? Or are we doing it in eternity? That's going to last for eternity. In eternal things.
Crosspoint Alliance Church is a Christ-centered Acts 1-8 family. Our hope is that you heard from God today. You can be part of the Crosspoint family by praying for this ministry. You can write or send your donation to Crosspoint Alliance Church, P.O. Box 681552, Charlotte, North Carolina 28216. Or go to www.crosspointclt.org. Thanks again for joining us, and come back next week for another edition of the Crosspoint Podcast.